This talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonabacher at the Zen Center of New York City. Gokhan is a senior monastic in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation, please visit our website at zmm.mro.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Good morning. Some of you may have come expecting to find Hojin Sensei here this morning. She's sick, was sick this week, and so wasn't able to be here. She sends her love. Georgia O'Keeffe said, "Nobody sees a flower, really. It is so small. We haven't time, and to see takes time. When you take a flower in your hand and really look at it, it's your world for the moment. I want to give that world to someone else. Most people in the city rush around so they have no time to look at a flower. I want them to see it whether they want to or not." To see takes time. I have been appreciating the simplicity of my life, what feels like the growing simplicity of my life, and kind of learning to allow it to be simple. Allowing simplicity to be my life. And in that, or related to that, I think beginning to see what has always been there and has kind of been too close to see. And so plain and kind of normal that I couldn't see that what it was, it is. It was what I'm looking for. And so appreciating simplicity, appreciating silence, just for themselves, and also what they allow us, what they offer us, what simplicity and silence allow us and offer us. These lines from Georgia O'Keeffe, I was reminded as I was preparing this talk of the first line in particular from years ago when Shoan and I were, my partner, were first together and we did a long hike on the Pacific Crest Trail. And the PCT runs from Mexico to Canada. And there were we were just doing a chunk of it, but there were a handful of people who were kind of passing us by who were trying to do the whole thing in one season. And to do that, you have to move to get to Canada before winter starts to set in. And so these folks were passing us by, and we were sort of getting to know them a little, you know, there's a little bit of leapfrogging. We sort of got to know them a little bit as they were passing us. And the way you do the PCT is you send food to yourself. You send boxes to post offices ahead of yourself and just kind of peel off and, you know, go get your resupply and then hike back to the trail. And at one of these post offices, there was a display of stamps that were Georgia O'Keeffe flowers. And this line was part of the display. And nobody sees a flower, really. It is so small. We haven't time, and to see takes time. And one of the guys who was trying to do the whole trail had been kind of arrested by this line and had realized that he was hiking through this amazing, it is amazing, wilderness in the High Sierras. It was the beginning of spring, and he realized he wasn't seeing it. And so he had stopped, and he was done trying to get to Canada and was just taking time to see. And I remember, you know, the folks that were through hiking, they would just be like chugging along. And I remember seeing this guy kind of off the trail and just sitting and looking and taking things in. And so I thought of him and thought of this line. To see takes time. And that this time to see is what our practice offers us. When we practice together, we're taking time. Time to slow down, time to stop, time to see. And when we practice on our own. Another thing that's been kind of in me is that last month I had the opportunity to do a sesshin, a week-long silent meditation intensive at another center out on the West Coast, which I really appreciated. And I've wanted to thank the Sangha for that opportunity. And, you know, I appreciated it because it showed me my practice, kind of reflected things back to me. I have almost only practiced here at the monastery in this Sangha. And so to be kind of an outsider showed me myself in a different way, showed me how I approach practice. And also just was, it was different. It was a Zen, very much a Zen training center, Zen Sesshin, but it was different. And so that difference helped me to see our practice, kind of reflect our practice. And appreciate it, really appreciate it anew. And so particularly our practice of sesshin, but really sesshin is just all of the things that we do put together and sort of intensified. And so appreciating silence, appreciating the simplicity of the different practices that we do. So the simplicity of zazen, the simplicity of kinhin, of chanting, appreciating the way that we practice together as a sangha. So we are alone in our practice, right? So in silence, we're alone. That's what it offers us. In zazen, we can be really alone in a good way, right? And we practice together. And so appreciating that, just there's some simple things that we do that brings us together so that we are also in Sangha at the same time that we're alone. When I give instruction in Zazen, one of the things that I often mention is the simplicity of Zazen and the importance of the simplicity of Zazen. The importance of allowing it to be simple and to remain simple. So can we allow our zazen to be simple and spare, and direct and uncomplicated? Because really this is the power of zazen. This is where the power of zazen lies, I think. That we don't have to do anything, that we're not doing anything. We don't have to make anything happen. We don't have to be anyone different. We don't have to look anywhere else except right where we are. And this is as true as in Zazen and as true in all of the practices that we do. That's what Kinhin is, just simple walking. When we do work together. So this morning, a number of us came together to do some silent work. To allow that to be simple and silent, direct, liturgy. Allow it to be simple. You don't need to think about it. There's no need to figure practice out. I think we spend a lot of time doing that, trying to figure out how does this work, what is this doing, to try and let that rest. And not to change practice to fit us, which I think I certainly have done too. And so really to try and allow practice, so we adjust ourselves to practice, or we're letting go into just doing practice rather than making it fit the way we think it should be, which really is kind of like making it, creating it in our image. That's what came to mind. And I've been seeing how so often I've wanted these practices to be different, to be more exciting and kind of exotic, right? To take me somewhere else. And in this, overlooking them, undervaluing them. And in some cases, kind of giving up. And I think that this is, it's important to see how we do this, how we will kind of give up on aspects of practice. I remember long ago, someone, sort of one of my new Dharma friends telling me, you know, you can't just walk in Kinyin. But that's the instruction, just walk. So don't give up on that, right? Even if it seems like you can't do that, right? That is a place of entry. Practice, each aspect of practice is a place to enter, is offering a place to enter. And so when we kind of give up, and so like our chanting, we're chanting, but there's a whole other conversation going at the same time inside. And we just learn to kind of let that happen. Not to learn to let that happen, but to see that that's happening and to continue to work with that. The same way that in Zazen, we continue working with our thoughts. Yes, they're thoughts. They keep coming up. Some periods it feels like it's just thought. But we keep practicing, right? Not to give up on aspects of practice. Because of this invitation, this constant invitation to enter, that there's something here, there's something to see. And we have to find our own way in, right? The teachings, the teachers, in a way, the practice itself is just pointing us, saying there's something to enter here, there's something to find here, to experience for yourself. We have to find our way in. And constantly, I think, find our way in. Right? A gate is always a gate, even when we've entered, or feel like we entered. We keep practicing. There's more to see. And so in formal practice, so when we come together here in the Zendo, when we do Zazen intensives, we're doing these simple practices over and over and over again, the same thing, right? What's being offered? And we're doing these simple things throughout our life, throughout our day. And so there's always this offering. There's always this possibility in these simple activities that we do. What's there? How do we enter? So allowing things to be simple. Simple in the mind. Simple in our actions. It's a way in which this can be our guide, is just to let things be simple. This spring there was a place in the woods that I was going to do art practice, do some writing, and sitting in the woods and seeing how much there is going on in the woods. All these different beings living their lives and doing their thing constantly, right up next to each other. It's like everything is just pressed up next to each other, touching. In some cases, for like their whole lives, they're touching each other and they're living their own lives. They're doing their own thing. And in all of this activity, all of this living is all very simple. All very simple. And I would feel sometimes sitting there how I was not apart from that. I was not apart. And sometimes sitting there and realizing the complexity that I was bringing, the complexity that I was creating myself that hadn't been there. Okamura Roshi says, in Buddhism, things free from attachment are immaculate. Things free from attachment are immaculate. All things are immaculate when we allow them to be. When we allow them to be as they are, allow them to exist in their simplicity and be wondrous. And we too are wondrous. Uchiyama Roshi says, that which is wondrous and infinite cannot satisfy our desire to grasp things. When we grasp something, it isn't wondrous and infinite anymore. So how do we encounter a simple thing, anything, a flower, and allow it to be our world for that moment? And allow it to be wondrous. And the other side of what he's saying is that this is not our usual way of, this is not our usual way. We have this desire to grasp things. And to find satisfaction in that way. And allowing things to be as they are, we're not going to find that kind of satisfaction. So how do we trust this kind of new kind of satisfaction? The Desert Fathers, the Christian mystics in the Egyptian desert, said, sit in your cell and it will teach you everything. Sit in your cell and it will teach you everything. Sitting right there in that one place in their cell, not moving, not looking somewhere else. That's where they would find God. Sitting right there in their cell. And reading their stories, this is also where they met all of their demons. Sound familiar? And so we might call the demons, what they would call demons, we might call them hindrances, or just the aspects of ourself that we see. So anger and jealousy, our desires, our strong desires, our laziness, our arrogance, our distraction. And so this is also what silence and simplicity show us, allow us to see. Kind of whether we like it or not. So I was kind of struck by that line, that part of what Georgia O'Keeffe said. I don't know if you can make someone see a flower in the way that I think she's talking about. I don't know if you can make someone see anything. When you see her flowers, you see what she's saying, because the flowers are like, see me. Right? But so sitting in silence, there also has to be intention. We have to want to see. We have to want to see. But if we do, if there is some intention, then sitting in silence, allowing simplicity, allows us to see what we can't see. And it takes time to see. We have to stop. It takes time to see a simple thing, to see a flower. It takes time to feel our feet on the floor. It takes time to see our mind. And so we put ourselves in a simple environment. We allow ourselves to be simple. So whether that's here at the temple, coming together to practice together, sitting down at home to do a period of zazen, allowing that to be simple. You're setting aside that time just to stop, to see. Let go of doing. Let go of entertaining. Let things settle. This allows us to see our thoughts. We have to kind of stop and kind of step back to see, so that we can see. To see what we turn to in our mind. To see what we actually take refuge in over and over and over in our mind. This is seeing where we live. Where do you live? Where's your mind? Some months ago, I gave a talk on a line from the Burmese meditation master Dipa Ma, who said, "Your mind is all stories. Your mind is all stories." And that seemed to resonate with people because of the truth of that. Because we see that when we turn our attention inwards, we see the stories over and over again and the power of the stories. In many cases, we struggle with that. It feels like a struggle. And so it's really important to see the stories, to see them clearly, to study them. Right? What is the nature of the stories that we tell? Where does the power come from? Where does their allure come from? Not to deny or push them away. The seeing is really important, but also to learn that we can let them rest. We don't need to keep telling the same stories. We can let them rest. Let them settle. And to see what is the mind that is not stories. To start to kind of see around, between, behind our thoughts. Is that all of the practices that we do are pointing to this, pointing to what is it to see beyond thought, without thought, to see more directly. To let go of the thought, of the constant talking, talking to ourselves, telling the story again, allowing things to actually be silent, to be still. Very gentle, gently. So earlier in the week, I was up at the monastery in Seishin and working on this talk. And so for a couple of days of Seishin, I was kind of trying to note in my own mind, in my own thoughts, whether there were any thoughts that were actually kind of important or helpful. And seeing that for the most part, the answer was no. There were a few thoughts, you know, I would think about the talk. There are a few things that were helpful that, you know, and that I actually remembered. There were a few things about, like, work that I, again, actually remembered. But for the most part, just seeing, it's all just kind of turning things around, picking them up and turning them around and picking something up, turning it around. Very familiar things. Not so exciting. Not so interesting. And so if my thoughts aren't interesting, why are they so interesting? Right? Why do we keep picking them up? And so this is also seeing. This is also seeing. Seeing our thoughts. We can't skip over this. it's constant. I mean, it's constant. It's constant. I mean, you can't skip over. You can't try and make it go away. And to learn to let it rest. So that we can see what's under these thoughts. Because under these thoughts are more thoughts. And so in my experience, there are quiet thoughts that are, we can't hear, mostly, usually. Patterns and habits of thought that are deep. They're quiet, but they're deep and in some cases insistent and constant. We have to be quiet in order to listen. For me, after a number of years of practice, I started to hear some of these quieter thoughts. And for me, were constant criticism, judging, kind of attacking myself. I couldn't hear them until I'd been sitting for a while. I didn't even know that they were there until I could start to hear them. And then for a while, I could only hear them after a couple of days of sitting, right? During sesshin, during a meditation intensive, when my mind would quiet down enough. And so for years, sesshin was just like a struggle because it was just like I would settle and then it was just like struggle. But starting to hear this constant, these constant voices. And because then when we can hear, when we see what we're dealing with, then we can deal with it. Then it's possible to let it go. It's possible to make peace and let go. And there are other things that I think I'm just starting to be aware of that are not thought. And so those thoughts, those were my thoughts, that was my voice. And there are things that are below thought that also affect us. So recently, there were things happening that I knew were happening up here because I was like interacting with people and arguing with people and feeling things in myself. And I could name what those, I had some awareness of what was happening. And those, there was truth to that. And as I sat and kind of dropped below those thoughts, I saw that there was something else deeper that was like an old thing from my mom, from childhood. There was not words. It was not my words, but it was in me and it was coming up in these ways. And so then seeing it, at least then I know what's happening. Right? And so again, this is allowing things to be quiet enough that we can hear, that we can feel what's going on below. And then to learn to trust that all of this is okay. So even when it's freaking out, even when it's you freaking out, and that's what you're seeing, it's okay. It's all okay. I can't quite explain that, but it's all okay because it's just you. It's just these parts of you. And that's all okay. If it's something that's not helpful, it's still, in a way, okay. Because then seeing it, we can work with it, learn from it, study it. I was reading a Theravadin sort of pamphlet on meditation, and one of the things that this teacher was emphasizing was that, you know, when we see our hindrances or obstacles and see them clearly and study them, they become our teachers, right? And that's not other, that is completely what we teach, right, what we talk about here. It's just a different way of putting that. And then his emphasis, he was saying that this is the sort of fundamental nonviolent practice is turning our obstacles into teachers, into places to enter. So to see takes time. Practice allows us time. You have to take time. I wrote this talk during Sesshin, and for Sesshin. I gave a version of this a few days ago during Sesshin. And when I came back to it, mostly yesterday, to look at and see, like, is this still, like, does this work here, right, on a Sunday, when we're not in Sesshin? And it does. Yeah, I hope. I've adjusted some things, but, and, you know, I wanted, you know, I think it is important to remember and to know, both those of you who have done intensive practice and intense meditation intensives, and I offer this also to those of you who have not yet, that they're really important. Right, and so when we do a half day sit here, when we do a Zazen Kai and all day sit here, when we do multi-day intensives up at the monastery, they offer us something. They offer the opportunity to allow our minds to settle in a way that is doesn't happen in the same way in our daily sitting, just because of that time, because of the silence, because of the stepping out of the busyness, stepping out of the activity for a period of time. And it's during intensives, in my experience, often that's when things shift. That's when I see something new in my practice that I then can bring with me, right? It's not reserved for Sesshin or meditation or an intensive, but that's where I see it. And then I can start to bring it into my daily sitting, into my daily life. But the space and silence and simplicity, it applies to our whole life. And so there's a way in which it's easier during Sesshin, during a meditation intensive, because the whole thing is set up to be simple, and it's in silence. And someone is actually going to remind you, if you start talking, that we're in silence, please. Doing this in our own life, on our own, is kind of advanced practice. But that's where our life is. So that's where we start. And so in our lives, can we give ourselves periods of silence? Can we allow things to be simple? And practice that. Cultivate that. George O'Keefe talks about the busyness in the city. That was one of I didn't say that during Sesshin, that part of the line. She's saying simply that we're too busy to see. And so what is that? What is busyness in the mind? Busyness in our bodies, in our activities. Where does that come from? All right, how do we create that? We should look at that. What is busyness? What is it that we have to let go of so the busyness is not busy? And can we do the same things that we need to do and not do them with a busy mind? I study that in my relatively simple life, where there are times when I feel busy. I say, what is this busyness? It's something in my body that I feel, in my mind that I feel. And what happens then when I finish a task and I realize, oh, I'm not so busy? So we should give ourselves space and time so that we can listen and look. Listen with all of ourselves, all the different parts of ourselves. There are a lot of different ways to listen. listen with all of ourselves at once, and working at accepting and being very close with whatever it is that we see. You know, it's too bad that there is not more space and time. And George O'Keefe said what she said a long time ago. It has not gotten better and simpler. We should all have this time, a space to know ourselves, a time to see. And so we can allow that for ourselves. We can create that for ourselves as a way of understanding what we're doing in practice, is allowing, giving ourselves that space, creating a space to see ourselves, to see all of the wondrous things, all of the wondrous things, and appreciate them, appreciate it all.
Thanks so much for listening. To find out more about the monastery's programs, weekend retreats, and residency, please visit our website at cmm.mro.org.